My brothers and sisters, welcome to worship this day. During the Pentecost season, where God's grace continues to overflow into our lives, the Pentecost season lives with the parables. And so this morning in our text from the Gospel of Matthew, we'll be hearing one of those parables, really a teaching time within the church. We're heading towards the end of the church year. In a few weeks, Reformation, All Saints Day, and then Christ the King. And on the edge of that, then we'll be plunging into the season of Advent. So in some ways, we're on that downswing, right, towards the end of the church year. We welcome this morning a group from the Twin Cities, from Word of Life Lutheran. We're glad you're here today. Welcome to worship. And for any other guests or friends, particularly those of the Gustavus Choir, welcome to you as well. And thanks to the choir and Greg for your presence and participation in worship today as you help to lead the people's song. Each Sunday, all are invited to the Lord's table for Christ's body and blood. As you come forward, you'll first receive the bread, and then if you choose to, you can consume the bread and next drink from the cup of wine. If you choose to hold on to the bread, the second cup is to dip the bread into the wine. And at one station, there'll be grape juice, so there'll be three cups at one station if you'd prefer to receive Christ's body, blood in that way. You'll need the cranberry-colored books for our hymns, so you may want to get that out right now. And look for our gathering hymn, "All Who Hunger, Gather Gladly." And then I'd invite you to rise to greet someone near you and then face the font for our time of confession. The Holy Trinity, one God, the source of life, the word of salvation, the spirit of mercy. Amen. Confident of God's mercy and grace, let us confess our sins to God and one another in this silence. Holy and compassionate God, we have not loved you with all our hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have failed to worship you with our whole being and share the peace of grace with us. We have acted on selfish ambition rather than the needs of others. We have nursed grudges rather than seeking reconciliation and peace. Forgive us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
God's mercies are new each morning, and God's purposeful presence is found in every season. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Transform us into a people of righteousness and peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
A reading from Isaiah. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was still. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." The word of the Lord. A reading from Philippians. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. Stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and killed them, burning their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, the one who shepherds us from death into life. Quite a few years ago, I found myself in China teaching at a medical university. But that was really just a cover. I had left the United States with the hope of discovering what to do with my life. And for some reason, I thought that I might uncover that answer by getting away. It's something that we do when we're searching, go to great lengths to find the truth. The first week I was there, I was invited to a banquet with the president of the university. I arrived in a large room that had several round tables in it. The president greeted me at the door and brought me over to a very specific seat at the table farthest from the entrance and facing the door itself. As the room filled and all the guests arrived, the president and vice president were seating people in specific places. And when everyone was there, the president came and sat next to me. Turns out that each seat on the sides of the president were for the honored guests. And since I was new, that was my spot. The president made a few announcements and then began serving me, filling my bowl with food. Now, I had been taught at home to eat every bit of the food put on my plate. But much later, I came to realize that it's the Chinese custom at such banquets to make sure the guest has enough food, and if a bowl starts to get empty, the host of the meal keeps filling it up. What was supposed to be an evening of delight turned out to be rather disgusting. I just kept eating and eating and eating. This reminds me a little bit of the shape of the parable today. Parables, lessons of delight and grace. That somehow, in this case today, sound more disgusting and challenging. What should be an innocent enough teaching about the kingdom of God turns into unexpected learnings about the judgment and authority of God. Let's rehearse the parable a bit, bring it up to date. A king sends out invitations for a special brunch. Invitations arrive in plenty of time, and the calls went out, "Are you coming?" There were some who had other things to do. Some needed extra sleep or had a paper to write. Some lived too far away, had to be at work on Monday, didn't feel it was important, had different priorities. So messengers went out to remind them about the banquet, but they still refused, and some of those invited guests turn on the messengers themselves. But this doesn't discourage the king. "Let's still have a party. Invite everyone you can find to the banquet. If they're out on the street that leads to this place, get them in here. Send them down from the cities on 169 or up from Mankato. Get them here, the king reminded, for the food is ready, the celebration is set. We'll have a feast for the ones we can squeeze in through the door. Now, it's hard for me to understand the king at the beginning of this narrative, but I can understand this parable king a little more at this point. Hosting a party, wanting people to show up. Any of us can when we plan for some major event and take it personally when no one comes, or we just sit there anxiously waiting for that first person to arrive. But now what happens is quite perplexing. Someone gets into this banquet without the appropriate garment. As the parable goes, the king arrived, and the guest was not in black tie. Picture this guest in any style you like. Shabby, genteel, tweedy, punk rock, whatever. Friend, the king says, how did you get in here without the right clothes? And the response is simply silence. And then the king does the unthinkable, sends him out, speaks a word of judgment upon him, and casts him aside. So what could have been a parable of grace about a wedding banquet turns into a parable of judgment. It leaves us a little disgusted, but also probably just very uncomfortable. For we want to see the compassionate God at this point, with open arms, forgiving, welcoming. But it's another picture. It's actually a fuller picture, I guess, of what God is, of what God represents for the ordering of the world. This parable speaks to us today, I think. We have, on the one hand, arrived. We now, at this moment, have become the church here, now, brothers and sisters. We have responded to the invitation. But then the question comes, are we ready? Do we have the robe on, as it were? Perhaps this little robe means more than meets the eye. I think it's symbolic of a certain readiness and acceptance of things. The robe was a way to respond to the invitation. It was a way of saying, hey, I'm glad I'm here. Thanks for inviting me. I'm ready for this celebration. To put it in other terms, some of you, for instance, haven't fully bought into this church thing yet. You haven't figured out what the story is for you. You end up at times feeling silenced by the questions, silenced by the experiences that have happened to you in your life. You can't make sense out of them. Or you may simply just be asking this question. What does God have in store for me? Do I have a place at this banquet? Could God really choose me? That's where this parable leads, to the inner life, what we all do, the kind of judging that occupies so much of our time. Sometimes we're wondering, who got the invitations? Checking to see who showed up, judging what each one brings to the table, deciding who needs to leave. Or at other times, at some even deeper place, we are worrying that we may not be good enough, that we are unable to accept God's acceptance of us, and therein rejecting not only each other, but ourselves as well. Jesus knows this. At this point in the narrative, he's arguing a bit with the leaders on authority. He's preached plenty about the welcome by grace into the community of the faithful, but the listeners were not getting it. And so the parable must come from his perspective as a word of judgment. And the judgment isn't on someone out there. It's on everyone who ended up showing up inside. On all of us. A parable of judgment that intercepts our ways of thinking, our own private theologies and our ideologies. The parable of judgment finds its way into each of our own hearts, into our insecurities, into our own faithlessness. We can't avoid it. We can't postulate around it. Can't talk our way out of it. In some way, all of us refuse the wedding garment. We instead act more like guests who go after a messenger. 10 years today, we remember a brother, Matthew Shepherd, who received a similar kind of judgment from us, led to a field, beaten to near death, strung to a fence post. We remember his death today as a reminder of the lengths we all go to exclude and to cast aside and to deny. It's precisely this kind of judgment, however, and it's an important however, that leads us back into the graciousness of God. For that, even though the parable is about us, it's about Jesus as well. The closer we come to the end of Jesus' ministry, the clearer the parables foreshadow Jesus' own death as God's chosen one, the one who was cast outside of the banquet, alone and rejected, without any garment on that cross. And in his death, we're reminded that even though judgment rests on each of our lives, God's graciousness is ultimate. Even though we cast judgment on ourselves and each other, God returns with a final judgment of graciousness. We who heard this parable of judgment today, now, also, at the same very time, can become wedded to a parable of communion. In a few minutes, the feast will begin. Invitations have been sent, you have responded, and with bread and wine, body and blood, judgment is cast in our favor. And regardless of wedding garment or not, there is a place at this table for you to receive forgiveness for the past, to receive hope for the future. Now we join in celebration with the whole of the story, judgment and grace, clothed in joy and wonder. Ready for a feast at a banquet table, a foretaste of the feast to come that forever changes how we see the world and each other and asks for nothing less than our very lives. Amen.
We confess our common faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Confident in the gracious and ever-widening mercy of God, let us pray for the world, body of Christ, and all who yearn for wholeness of life. Refuge of the poor, you promise to provide for our every need. We pray for all who struggle to earn a living wage, all who seek shelter, all who hunger for a meal, all for whom medical care is beyond their grasp. Lord, in your mercy. Refuge of the needy, you promise to give wisdom to all who seek it. We pray for the leaders of our cities, towns, villages, rural communities, and our college, that the distressed and downtrodden not be neglected. Lord, in your mercy. Refuge of the weary, you promise to bring healing to the nations. We pray for peace and reconciliation among all nations and for those who govern and guide them, that ruthless and unjust ways be ended. Lord, in your mercy. Refuge of the weeping, you promise to swallow up death forever. We pray for those who are grieving any loss, that they would know the sustaining presence of your Spirit of comfort. Lord, in your mercy. Refuge of all, you promise to invite all people to your banquet of grace. We pray in thanksgiving for all who have died and now dine with you at your heavenly table, especially Matthew Shepherd. Lord, in your mercy.
Listen to us when we call upon you, our merciful God, and grant us grace to entrust our lives and our world to your unfailing love, through Christ our Lord. The peace of Christ be with you all. We share that peace with each other.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Again into one. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his teachings and parables, his acts of healing, his body given up, and his victory over death, we await that day when all the peoples of the earth will come to the river to enjoy the tree of life. Send your spirit upon us and this meal. As grains scattered on the hillside become one bread, so let your church be gathered from the ends of the earth, that all may be fed with the bread of life, your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. As Christ has taught us, we pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For
the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, there is a place for you at this table. Come with open hands and eager hearts, for the body and blood of life are given for you.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Let us pray. O God, you have shown us the ultimate hospitality by welcoming us to feast on your very being. By your Spirit, teach us to show true hospitality to both family and stranger, offering ourselves for the needs of others through Christ our Lord.
Postscript to the sermon. While I didn't find who I was in China, I came to realize that my identity was found at this table that we've all joined together. May you go forth with that assurance this day. God gives rest to all the weary and carrying heavy burdens. Almighty God, bless, preserve, and keep you this day and forevermore.
Go in peace, grow in grace.